The Bible reading today is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, verses 28 to 44. They can be found in the Church Bible on page 1446. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." "Well said, teacher," the man replied. "You are right in saying that God is one, and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions. While Jesus was teaching in the temple courts, he asked, "Why do the teachers of the law say that the Messiah is the son of David? David himself, speaking by the Holy Spirit, declared, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet.' David himself calls him Lord. How then can he be his son?" The large crowd listened to him with delight. As he taught, Jesus said, "Watch out for the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes and be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and have the most important seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for a show make lengthy prayers. These men will be punished most severely." Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins, worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on."
Thanks, Jeff. Well, please leave your Bibles open there. My name is Simon. If we haven't met before, I usually go to the afternoon services. I thought I had a colourful shirt on today, but it seems like lots of people are wearing colourful shirts. So I feel like I fit in, which is good. But anyway, why don't we pray that God will help us to understand his word? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can meet together now. Father, thank you for the scriptures. Thank you that you had them preserved for us. Father, please speak to us through your word. And Father, as we consider your word, as we weigh it up, Father, help us to think about our response to your son, Jesus. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm not sure if you've heard about the Asbury revival happening in America. You might know much more about it than I do. You might even know how to pronounce it properly. My mum was the first to tell me about it. She loves that kind of thing. It started on the 8th of February of this year. Some students just kept praying and singing after a chapel service ended on a university campus. And I think the service ended up going for about 2 weeks. And along the way, an estimated 50,000 students and visitors came from across the country to join in on the service, to pray and to sing. And it seems like people were enjoying a genuine spiritual experience. I read one article where people were publicly confessing sin, talking about addictions. Others were talking about being healed from mental health issues. Other universities tried to replicate the revival, but I don't think they were very successful. Now, I'm not sure what you think of when you hear all this. I don't want to be dismissive of something like this. But at the same time, the skeptic inside of me is thinking, those crazy Americans, at it again. Now, I'm aware of all the services. This has the most Americans in it. So I deeply apologise for that. But there's some truth to that. So maybe. Anyway. But I guess one way to tell if this thing has been a good thing is if over time there is lasting fruit, if over time these people are actually giving their all to Jesus. And a lady said to me this morning that that's what our prayer should be. And I was like, yes, actually, as she rebuked me, I was like, yes, that's actually what our prayer should be. So we should be praying for that. But in our passage today, I want to say there are some different responses to Jesus. And they can look really positive. One guy will look really impressed by Jesus. He'll think he's a great teacher. The crowd will delight in Jesus' teaching, the depth, the layers. Others simply won't care. But the person who makes the right response to Jesus is a woman who will give her all to the Lord. And friends, this passage poses the question for us, what sort of response have you made to Jesus? You might be impressed by Jesus, he's a great teacher. You might delight in his teaching, the depth. But have you given your all to Jesus? Well, that's a question for us to wrestle with this morning. Well, please have your Bibles open there at Mark chapter 12. I want to start by looking at the wrong responses to Jesus. And just a little heads up for your listening budget. The first point is definitely longer than the second point. So if, as we come to the first point, you're freaking out, don't freak out. The second point is much shorter. So point one, the wrong responses to Jesus. There are three interactions for us to consider. The first is the teacher of the law. Let's pick it up from verse 28. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" A teacher of the law hears Jesus debating with the Sadducees. There's actually been lots of little questions and debates in Mark chapter 12. But the Sadducees, they don't believe in the resurrection, and that is why they're sad, you see. It's a dad joke or a preacher, yeah, you know. Anyway, sorry about that. But this teacher of the law sees that Jesus gives a good answer. And so he asks Jesus the question, of all the commandments, which is the most important? Now, later Jewish teachers said there were 613 commandments in the Pentateuch, or the first five books of the Bible. And so this teacher of the law is saying, Jesus, which one really sums them up? Well, let's check out Jesus' response. Pick it up for me from verse 29. The most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbour as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Jesus gives an orthodox reply. He quotes from the Shema, which was part of Israel's daily confession. It's from Deuteronomy chapter 6. And it states that God is one, that the Lord is one, and God's people are meant to love the Lord with all that they have. With heart and soul and mind and strength. But you can't love God in isolation. Part of loving God is loving his people. And so Jesus also quotes from Leviticus 19. Jesus is saying, loving God and loving others, that sums up the law. There's no greater commandment than that. And the teacher of the law, he's impressed by Jesus' answer. At the start of verse 32, you can see he says, well said, teacher. The man saying that to Jesus. And then he quotes Jesus' answer back to him, adding in that God thinks that following these commandments is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. And you know what? Jesus is actually impressed by this guy's answer. Pick it up from verse 34. Jesus says this. When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions. This guy is impressed by Jesus. He thinks, this guy is a good teacher. This guy's a great teacher. Maybe the best teacher there is. And Jesus says to this teacher of the law, you are not far from the kingdom. And in a sense, that's good. This guy is sort of working out what it means. But I think Jesus is more saying, you're not in the kingdom. Being impressed by Jesus is not enough to be in the kingdom. It's actually about giving Jesus your all, your everything, because he's Lord. Well, let's check out the next response. Next up is the crowd. Pick it up for me from verse 35. While Jesus was teaching in the temple courts, he asked, "Why do the teachers of the law say that the Messiah is the son of David?" Now, we've just seen the interaction between Jesus and a teacher of the law, and now no one's game to ask Jesus any more questions. Like, okay, this guy is a master. He nails the questions. And so Jesus says, you know what? I'll ask my own question. And so he asks the crowd. He says to them, "Why do the teachers of the law say the Messiah, the anointed one, the king, is the son of David? Why do they say that for?" And you'd have to say they say that because back in 2 Samuel chapter 7, God promised David that one of his sons would be king forever. And so it makes sense that king, the Messiah, would come through David's line, be one of David's sons. And Jesus wouldn't disagree with that. But Jesus is trying to draw out that he's more than just a son of David. Jesus is actually God in the flesh. And he's demonstrated that numerous times throughout Mark's gospel. Jesus is wanting the people to see that he is Lord. Well, pick up me again from verse 36. David himself, speaking by the Holy Spirit, declared, "The Lord said to you, 'My Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet.'" Jesus is quoting from Psalm 110 here, a psalm written by David as he was carried along by the Holy Spirit. And David says, "The Lord said to my Lord." Or you could say, "The Lord God said to the Messiah." Well, Jesus goes on in verse 37. He says this, "David himself calls him Lord. How then can he be his son?" The large crowd listened to him with delight. David calls the Messiah Lord. Now, from my general observation and from my own experience, fathers do not call their sons Lord. I don't know if that happens in your household. Hopefully it doesn't, because that's kind of weird if it does. We made the mistake of calling our oldest son Henry. I actually really like the name. I used to be a high school teacher. There was a student who was a great student. His name was Henry. But you know what? Henry means ruler of the house. And so that was possibly a mistake there. Anyway, Jesus is raising the question, how can the Messiah be David's son, when in fact David, back in Psalm 110, he referred to the Messiah as the Lord. Jesus is hinting at the fact that he is the Lord. He's a son of David, sure, but he's actually the Lord. He's the one David was referring to. Now, the crowd don't really understand this, and it is pretty hard to understand. But the crowd, they do delight in Jesus' teaching. They're very interested in it, the mystery of it, the depth of it. But you have to say, just like the teacher of the law is not in the kingdom, well, the crowd are also not in the kingdom. Because being in God's family, it's more than just delighting in Jesus. It's more than being impressed by Jesus. It's about recognizing Jesus as the Lord. Well, let's consider one more response. And it's the teachers of the law in general, and they don't really care about Jesus. They couldn't give two hoots about Jesus. Pick it up for me from verse 38. As he taught, Jesus said, "Watch out for the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes and be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and have the most important seats in the synagogues and the places of honour at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for a show make lengthy prayers. These men will be punished most severely." Jesus is saying the teachers of the law, it's all show. They don't care about Jesus at all. It's all about them. They want power and glory and honour, and they'll devour widows and the weak along the way to get it. But Jesus says, you know what? They'll be punished most severely because they should really know better. The teachers of the law, they don't care who Jesus is. They're just doing their own thing. Well, friends, we've seen three different responses to Jesus, and none of the responses show that the people understand who Jesus really is. He's not just a good teacher. He's not just a great teacher, even the best teacher. He's not just a nobody that you can kind of just kind of shrug off and think, oh, I don't even care what he thinks. See, Jesus is the Lord. He's the one that we're meant to love with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength. Each of these responses show that the people haven't really understood who Jesus is. Now, recently, Ed Sheeran has been doing a number of concerts in Australia. He actually broke the record for the largest concert in Australia during the week. I think he had 107,000 people in Melbourne, which is pretty crazy. But lots of people from Townsville and from church have been going down to see Ed Sheeran in Brisbane, and from, you know, from second and third hand reports, it sounds like it's a great show. It sounds fantastic. But I want you to imagine something. I want you to imagine that you have flown down. Let's say we went with Virgin, in the middle. We went with Virgin down to Brisbane. We're in Brisbane. We're staying in our accommodation, and we're about to go out to the concert. And so we're going to catch a bus to the concert, and we have our go-card, but we realise, you know what, events are free, so we don't have to pay. We're on the bus, we're on free. It's great. When we walk on the bus, on the front seat, kind of just behind the driver, there's a guy with red hair. You kind of think, yeah, strange. Kind of recognise that guy, but not exactly sure who he is. And, you know, you're with your friends, you think, oh, whatever. And so you walk to the back of the bus, you know, you're reliving your youth at the back of the bus there, thinking you're cool, up there for the concert, enjoying it. But you know what, when you get to the concert, you realise that the guy at the front of the bus was actually Ed Sheeran. Turns out he actually likes to go on the bus before the show just to have a bit of a stress relief, the bus ride around Brizzy or wherever, whatever city he's in, just a really nice kind of thing for him to do. Now, I am making that completely up. I don't know if Ed Sheeran does it. I'm sure he doesn't. I'm sure he sits in his little room with a box of seasonal fruit and some water and enjoys himself there. But you know what? If that was true, right? That was true. You'd be kicking yourself because, you know what, you'd missed an opportunity. Ed was on the bus. He was right there in front of you. You could have got an autograph. You could have got a selfie. You could have said, hey, mate, shove over and sat next to him because those seats are for two people. You'd missed your opportunity to get up close and personal with Ed. Well, friends, the Jewish people in Jesus' day, they were all longing for the Messiah to come. They were longing for that. But they just couldn't see that the Messiah, the Lord, was right there in front of them. And so they all made a poor response to him. And I guess if we just pause for a moment and reflect, it's worth considering what sort of response have we made to Jesus. Do you think that Jesus is just a good teacher? Maybe he gives you some good morals, a good code to live by. Are you impressed by the way the Bible fits together? Impressed by the way that Mark's gospel fits together? Are you impressed by the depth and the layers of Jesus' teaching? Or do you just go around thinking, you know what? I don't even care what Jesus thinks. I'm just going to serve myself and do what I want. Well, friends, Jesus is the Lord. He's God in the flesh. And so our response to him should be to love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We're about to see a widow who responds to the Lord by giving her all. Well, let's have a look. Pick it up for me again from verse 41. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins with only a few cents. Jesus has finished his teaching in the temple and he sits down at the place where people put their money into the temple treasury. It was a way to help the temple function. And Jesus sees the rich people putting in lots and lots of money. But this poor widow, she puts in two very small copper coins. She puts in 2 5-cent pieces. But Jesus calls over the disciples to explain what's actually going on here. Pick up three with me from verse 43. It says this. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on." Jesus tells the disciples that this poor widow has put in more than anyone else. He tells them why that's the case in verse 44. They gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, puts in all that she had to live on. She is a great example of what it means to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You know, the crazy thing is, this lady doesn't even know who Jesus is, but she does love the Lord with all she has. She is a model of faith. She's a model for us. Well, friends, of all the different characters we've seen in today's passage, this poor widow is most like a child. She has nothing. She comes to God with empty hands. She is completely dependent on God. As we've seen over the last few weeks, those who come to Jesus with nothing, those are the ones who are part of God's people. They're the ones who have their sins forgiven. They're the ones who will be with Jesus in perfection forever. Friends, this poor widow, she gets it. She makes the right response to the Lord. Now, this doesn't happen all the time. In fact, it happens on the more rare side of things. But it's great. It's great when my kids make the right response. It's great when my kids, when they get it. It might be that we're giving a lift home to someone from the mountain bike tracks. You know what? And we drove over there. One of my sons sat in the front seat. He had shotgun. But on the way back, he, without being told, gives up shotgun in the front and sits in the back. And I just think at that moment, I've done something right. You know, giving up. There's fights over that seat. You know about that, right? But he sits in the back willingly. And I think, whoa, that's great. It was actually for Chris, actually. And then my wife actually got up Henry for sweating on the front seat, but it was actually Chris who sweated on the front seat. Anyway, so he really took one for the team there. Deb hates it, hates sitting in other people's sweat. Anyway, I'm sure you do too. Or it might be that one of the grandparents has given one of our children, let's say, a pretty lame present. You know, if you were to survey Australia and say, "Is this a lame present?" The survey results will come back and say, "Yep, that's lame." But you know what they do? In the moment, rare moment, they say, "Thank you," and smile. And you think, "Oh, crisis averted. Thank you." Or after doing thousands of things for your kids, one day, off their own bat, they just say to you, "Hey, thanks, Dad." And you're like, "Oh, phew, I usually talk you guys down, but thanks for that." That's actually encouraging to hear that. Sometimes my kids, and I want to say on the more rare side of things, sometimes my kids make the right response, and it's great. It's great to observe it. Well, friends, the widow in our story today, she makes a great response. She gets what it means to love the Lord with all that she has. She gives her all to the Lord. She is a great example for us to follow. Friends, this passage again raises the question for us. What sort of response are you making to Jesus, the one who died for us, the one who's king over the whole world? Now, we thought about some wrong responses earlier. Just being impressed by Jesus, just delighting in his teaching, or not even giving two hoots about Jesus. But are you making the right response to the Lord? Are you loving the Lord with all that you have? Are you being generous towards the Lord? Maybe a helpful way to think about that is not so much what you're giving to the Lord, but what you're keeping for yourself. You might be giving 10%. That's great, but you're keeping 90% for yourself. Remember the poor widow? She gave her all. What about your life? Does the way that you use your life, your time, your energy, your resources, does that suggest that you're loving the Lord with all that you have? Or does your response show that you don't really get who Jesus is? Friends, it's hard, isn't it? It's hard to love Jesus with all that you have. I know that it's a struggle for me. Sometimes I just want to serve myself. I just want to love myself. Sometimes it just feels too much. But friends, when I think like that, it's usually because I've taken my eyes off Jesus. I've forgotten that Jesus is the Lord, the one who died for me. I've forgotten that the most satisfying way for me to live is to love the Lord, to love the Lord Jesus with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength. In fact, that is what God made me for. That's what I'm designed to do. Friends, when we see our response to Jesus, and when we see that it's less than it should be, we should come before him, come before Jesus and say sorry. Sorry for not living in response to you as I should. But friends, we should also know that when we do that, when we confess our sin, he is faithful and just and he forgives us our sin. His blood cleanses us from all of our sin. But friends, we also need to ask God for his help. We need to ask God for his help to help us to see who Jesus is, to help us to love Jesus with all that we are. Heart, soul, mind, and strength. Well, friends, let's pray that that will be the case for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you speak to us in it. Father, we thank you for the response of the widow and the way that she just gets it. She gets what it means to love you with all that she has. Father, help us to be like that. Father, sorry for the ways that we're not like that. And we all know that for ourselves in different ways. Father, please forgive us and help us to enjoy your forgiveness. Father, help us to love you, to love your Son with all that we have, with all of our life. Father, please help us to do that by your Spirit. And Father, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.